See, Christian's giving away a trip to Salem, Massachusetts.
That's bizarre, actually, because I was in America recently and I went to Salem, Massachusetts, and that's not a prize.
Isn't it?
Believe me, if you, I mean, we were there, we were sort of obliged to go because we were at someone's birthday. It's rubbish.
Really?
I mean, that's a really poor trip. That's such a boring
He probably can't believe his luck. It's probably the biggest thing Christian's ever had to give away.
The great thing about,
and you've just dissed it.
The great thing about Salem, Massachusetts is that...
I don't think we're good for this station. I don't think we're selling this station like we should.
Well, you know, it's its own fault, you know. It shouldn't have hired us. I blame it, you know.
Yeah, and paid us in advance.
Yeah.
They're lucky we turn up.
No, I went to Salem, Massachusetts, and this is the place that's famous from, like, Salem's Lot and the Salem witch hunts, famously.
Famous for all things Salem.
Anything
with Salem in the title, that's what it's famous for.
The whole place has gone mad over, like, witches and anything. Basically, it's like there was the Salem witch hunts in, like, 17-something or other, or 16-something or other. So the whole place now is just full of, like, people dressed as witches.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, any supernatural stuff. So I went in, and it was amazing. It's quite
like a Glastonbury tent.
It was, it's awful. Everything, every single place there, every single shop is kind of horror related.
Yeah.
And I went to the Boris Karloff World of Terror. It's amazing. You went in there. I don't know if Boris, the famous horror actor, has actually been involved, but you go in there, you walk in the door, you've got to put these 3D glasses on, right? And it's supposed to be this kind of chilling journey around this kind of a crypt, you know. And you put these glasses on, and I couldn't tell. They were so poor, I couldn't tell what was supposed to be a 3D effect and what was actually three-dimensional.
Really?
So I couldn't tell if like the floor was actually sloped or if it was just appeared to be.
Yeah.
Whether the wall was actually kind of knobbly or whether it was... 3D. It was so much, and it literally took about 45 seconds to get through it.
Imagine
that. You just
came
out blinking into the dark, into the light again. It was
so rubbish. I just want to throw this over to Carl. So there's Steve Merchant with funny glasses on in this place, horror, and he's walking around. Do you think he scared people, Carl? I've set this question out, haven't I? I've loaded the question.
I know the answer you're fishing for. Carl, do you just want to have a dig at me? Because it's coming up to 2 o'clock and you've not really put a lot of effort in today, slagging me off.
I don't do it on purpose.
No, he doesn't do it on purpose. He's just an honest northerner and he can't lie. He's like George Washington, but without the wooden teeth.
Yeah. Salem. I didn't mean
We've
to
lost
say,
it again, haven't we? You didn't mean to say Salem.
Salem.
This is such bad
that
radio.
Was just
this
the
is
word
really.
That was in the tip of my
I mean,
tongue.
Genuinely, this is bad radio.
It's awful
isn't it?
Radio.
Quick. Oh, yeah, my mate went to one of those things. In the West End, where you walk around and it's aliens and they jump out at you.
Right.
Right? And he was so scared when the alien jumped out. I mean, he ripped a bit of his face off. And
well, the alien's face off.
Yeah, it was foam. And the bloke went, don't do that, mate.
Brilliant. Well, in the Salem one, I was wandering around and this was one guy that kept jumping out.
Yeah.
Because there was about 10 of us, I was at the back. I always missed him jumping out. So when I got around, I missed all the frights.
Oh no.
He'd at least, like, you'd have thought he'd like jump out, then double around and jump out again. For the people at the end.
Everyone
of the
catch that?
No,
what
really,
are you doing? All right, okay, move on.
Oh, if you want to win those tickets, 08700 800 1234. Dwight Schultz, who is he better known as?
I remember he was on something on one chat show, and I think it was Dez or Mike asked for something. And I said, so you've had something? He said, yeah. He said, well, everyone knows that Elvis sold more records after his death than when he was alive. Little dig there against Elvis. He goes,
yeah.
Well, I've just overtaken his record for sales in the UK. Right, so he sets up that Elvis is only selling because he's dead.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've still beaten him in the UK. And I just think. And where'd you get the quiff from and the way to sing? Where'd you get that from, Cliff? Mm. Where did you think of that?
But it's those people who, he's just desperate for the credibility that he's never going to have.
I like it when he went around last year going, they're not playing my record. Oh, go on, play it. Number one.
Yeah.
Ha, fooled you.
It was number one, the Millennium Prayer.
I know, yeah. Well, it was, you know, it was the Millennium, wasn't it?
It was, but I don't know who's buying it. I mean, I know, you seem to claim it's some kind of like 60-year-old women, but they're not.
Yeah,
are they really a commercial force now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Carl seems to know that.
Well, like when you're born, you're a little baby, wrinkly and stuff. When you get older, you sort of morph into a baby again. And you go through the same phases. So when you're young, you buy singles. You get old, you've got nothing to do all day. You got all your pension money. What will I buy? Cliff Richard's on the telly. Here's my video, buy me song.
You see, that started off as quite a sensible point because I actually think they do it. But what was all that alien stuff about when you're born, you go wrinkly and you go wrinkly again? So sometimes you mix like normal things that human beings say with I don't know what.
Well, look, when you're a baby, you've got a little bald head, no teeth, you get old, what happens?
Are you a philosopher? Are you an official philosopher? Because, I mean, it sounds like it. Oh, Carl, play a record. You're a gem.
Ash, There's a Star on XFM 104.9. Now, Steve.
Yes.
Carl text messaged me in the week, very excited, because he just watched a programme that proved me and you were stupid. Remember when we sort of championed the anti-supernatural?
Yes. Skeptical view.
We're just absolutely skeptical about things like that. We're atheists. We don't believe in ghosts, anything like that, anything supernatural. We're followers of James Randi, a genius of our times. But Carl saw something that proved us wrong. I'd like Carl to tell you what this proof was, what he saw it on, and look at him. Go on then.
It was on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I was watching. You see, the problem is I didn't get the full story, so you could pick holes out of it.
Sure.
Unlike your usual investigations into the supernatural,
which are thorough.
It was called. Can I just say what the program's called?
Mr. Exorcist.
Oh, brilliant!
So
sounds like an academic work to me. Yes.
The bit that I caught, I just flicked it over, sort of seeing what's on the telly, and I thought, "Oh, Exorcist, I've seen it, but there's nothing else," and I watch it, and then I realised it wasn't the same thing. Yeah. Thought, oh, I'll have a bit of this, and there was an old woman. And a daughter, and as far as I was aware, the bit I picked up on, they were saying, oh, you know, it's dreadful, and unless you've been through it, you know, you've had ghosts in your house and that, you really don't know what it's like.
Yeah, sure.
And the main thing that seemed to be getting them down was the fact that the budgie was getting stressed.
The budgie was getting stressed?
Because animals can sense the other side, can't they?
Can they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
And how was that manifesting itself? You didn't know. What was the budgie doing?
I think it just wasn't happy.
Right. did it explain that to people, or no, how did, you know, it express, I mean, that?
Budgies are known for being chirpy, aren't they?
I see, and it wasn't chirpy.
It normally swings on its little perch and that.
Just depressed because it was possessed.
It was just sat around in its pyjamas.
So
No. Come on, so Steve. Come on, Steve. You're making this a mockery. So the budgie was depressed because he could sense the ghost.
This guy, Mr. Exorcist, came round.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he a priest or something?
Yeah, he might have been.
Yeah.
Like I said,
Did he have a black coat with a little white collar? Yeah. That's usually the...
He had his coat on, so you couldn't tell.
No, I'm sure. Okay.
But so he came round and he sort of did his thing.
Was he trying to exorcise the budgie?
No, the ghost. House.
Right,
the house,
so it wasn't that the budgie had a demon or anything.
No. Okay. No, this wasn't a possession, was it? This was a straightforward... It wasn't a poltergeist or anything. It was just a...
Well, haunted house.
Yeah,
yeah, but sure. that's the thing he was saying. He was saying you can have like your ghouls and that aren't that bad, that aren't going to cause you any problems.
Yeah, yeah,
but obviously the budgie, they've got weak hearts and that, haven't they?
And, sure. So anyway,
basically he sorted it out, did whatever he did, and the next shot you see is like the budgie making a noise and swinging his eyes over the moon again, and the old woman was like happy because she
couldn't believe it.
Like,
yeah,
and
the priest didn't come in and go, well, you should feed that bird. Give it a bit of millet. It was happy. It goes, right.
Nice.
See you later. No. It was a toast.
I mean, budgies are, my mum's got a budgie. And they're fairly happy all the time, aren't they? So it's got to be something fairly odd. Yeah.
You never see a budgie sitting down going, I feel like topping myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though?
No.
Do you know you can have like a moody dog? You can see a dog when it's unhappy if it's walking down the street.
You can have a moody canary, can't you? And what they do is they often tell the police what you've been doing. They're known for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So basically.
So that for you is proof that the supernatural exists. A bird in a cage got a little bit annoyed, wasn't chirping as much as it normally did. Who knows why? There could have been a little draft up its. You know, and...
Cloaca.
Exactly.
That's
anyway,
a medical term.
Anyway, a man came in and did whatever he did.
Yeah. Mr. Exorcist, though, Steve. Yeah. this wasn't any bloke off the street. This was Mr. Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And for you, that's the proof that there's...
Just because, like, if it was a person, you go, oh, they're playing up for the camera.
Yeah,
you know,
a budgie could possibly act like that, Steve.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You're saying a budgie would not be trying to... It wouldn't be trying to become famous or trying to get on
the
telly.
Not like Lassie.
No, sure.
It was basically a show-off.
Yeah, or Champion the Wonder Horse.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I've changed my tune, Rick. I don't know about you.
I have, and I think we should play a record.
I'd love to get Mr. Exorcist in. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Never dabble with things you don't understand.
Sorry.
Like women. See what I did there?
Oh, he's turned that back on me.
Blair. Boys and girls.
Girls and boys. Embarrassed.
Blair. Girls and boys there. Steve on XFM 104.9. So, it's not so bad, really, because we didn't plan anything, you know.
No,
We've proved the supernatural. We were wrong about that.
Well, I just one other question. Was there anything else in this woman's house that led her to believe that there were ghosts, or was it just the fact that, you know, Tweety or whatever his name was, wasn't chirping?
You see, this is the problem. I was watching UK Style. I was watching something on that.
What were you watching on that?
It was, do you know, it's not changing rooms. It's like that, but cheaper.
Quite seriously, right, you might be the most interesting man in the world. I'm fascinated by it. I'd like to follow you. I'd like to have a hidden camera on you. I can ask you any question. You know, I'd like to have you in a cupboard in my flat. So I just think about it. I wonder what Carl thinks of that. And I'd just throw some at you, and you'd, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's what my dad did. Just kept me in the cupboard.
You know what I mean, though? Yeah. I wonder what Carl would.
You're never stuck for a conversation point if Carl's around. That's
no,
what's genius about
it. He's always got an opinion. He's got an opinion about everything.
Yeah. I love the fact he was watching UK Style without a shadow of irony.
Yeah.
No, that's
what I like about him.
Exactly.
I wouldn't like it if he was trying to be
he's not.
Kitsch and stuff like that. I like it because he's down the line, straightforward, no nonsense. Yeah. This is what I like. You know what I mean? He's going to be sort of like Jeffrey Boycott, Dickie Bird when he's about like 60 or 70. He's going to get on a bus and go to the driver somewhere. You need an haircut. You look like a scruffy get. You know what I mean? He's going to be a great old bloke that you
need.
He doesn't get chinned in the pub.
Yeah.
Right? People protect him, you know, because he's like 70 or something. But it's great. You're looking forward. You're actually in that nod. I can't wait to be 70.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm. Can I make a suggestion that we just get people, they can email in just questions or comments they'd like to hear from Carl. Maybe they just want to know his opinion on the Afghanistan situation.
Yeah, like,
or you know, like last night's Coronation Street, whatever.
Yeah, like they do it, you know, in the NME or imagine that coming up to the election, they go, Billy says Labour.
Yeah.
Ooh, Carl.
I think the Sun has White Van Man. Each day they interview a guy who drives a white van, see his opinions on various topics. Carl is very much our white man van. White man van.
Yeah.
So any query you have.
I think most of our listeners are,
any
I'll
opinion
honest.
That you would like to hear voiced from the K-Man, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk, or you can phone in. I forget what the number is.
0800-800-1234.
Sweet.
Now, you during that record, you said, are we knock everything?
Mm.
You saw something about the Bermuda Triangle, didn't you?
When I talked about ghosts, you sort of just... because you don't believe in it. Mm. I think it's because you're scared of it, to be honest, and you can't admit to understanding it and actually believing in it.
Sure.
Thing on last night, Steve.
Yes.
Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know much about that?
Mainly the song by... What was his name?
What's his name?
Bermuda Triangle, where people disappear.
No.
Bermuda Triangle.
What's his name? No. Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the lyrics? Bermuda Triangle, where people disappear. Bermuda Triangle, don't go near.
Yeah.
Shouldn't really make a joke out of it.
No, you're right. Go on.
But what it is, right, there's a programme saying what it's about. What do you know about it?
As I say, mainly from what Barry's told me, but certainly planes and various boats have gone missing within the Bermuda Triangle.
Planes?
Yeah.
Yep. But obviously that documentary didn't explore it.
He learned a lot about that. I learned a lot about American history through We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
Again, most of my knowledge of Tsarist Russia comes from Rasputin
by Boney M.
Well,
yeah, he was the lover of the Russian queen.
They put some poison into his wine.
Yeah, yeah. They shot him till he was dead.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, go on.
Right. Well,
those Russians.
Sort of a bit of an earthquake in the sea.
Sure.
Lets out methane gas.
Okay. Yeah.
And apparently, if you were swimming out in the sea.
Yeah.
And there was like an earthquake and some methane came out. Yes. You can't swim in it. You just sink.
Okay.
Even if you're a good swimmer.
What happens if you're two lads from your school and they...
heads.
Yeah, that's like a buoy. So you can see them a mile off and their webbed hands would get them into shore.
Because they did actually say even if you're wearing a life jacket, if the water's full of methane, right? You just sink. So what it's saying is boats have gone across the sea, got a load of methane in the sea, and the boat just sinks.
Right. What about the planes?
Is it then sort of planes with little sort of floaty things
Could
on?
Be.
That'll be the sort they've landed in the sea.
Right.
And methane's...
Well, sorry, Carl, what did the documentary say? Not I imagine.
Yeah, your hypothesis might be working.
Yeah, what did they say in the documentary?
They didn't cover the planes. Something else they said about it, though.
Go on.
Loch Ness, the monster.
Yep, sure.
Probably doesn't exist.
Okay.
What it is...
Interesting. Hold on, interesting. Oh, interesting. Yeah. They thought the Loch Ness probably didn't exist.
Curious viewpoint.
Hold on. What proof have they got for that, Carl? How can they go around saying stupid things like that?
It's methane.
Right. Again, in Loch Ness.
And people have seen, what's the lake? It's in
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness.
Yeah.
It being the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah. Yeah. That's where it lives. That's how it finds its
way
home.
That's certainly the clue.
Yeah.
If you get it again, Carl,
yeah,
that's the clue.
Yeah, if you go, and it's, if it's out wandering, it goes, excuse me, what do you know where I'm being the Loch Ness Monster? Where would I be going? Oh, you'd be going to the Loch Ness if that's your home. It's away over there, you big monster, you.
So the bubbles from the methane bubble up out of the water.
Yeah,
People think, oh, God, it's a monster's head. But it's not, it's just water sort of shooting up because of the bubbles.
Well, that's two of the great mysteries of the universe solved by Carl P. On a Saturday afternoon.
That is fantastic. Yeah. So that makes me think a lot of things. So you know when mediums are sort of like going, oh, I've got something coming through. Mm. Do you think they are exhaling a lot of methane gas? And thus making them not think straight? Do you think everything's down to methane gas? Do you think that all the mysteries of the universe are down to methane gas, Carl? What did it say in the documentary you saw?
About what?
What was the budgie happy? We know that budgie was sad. Was it in a room? Because they used to take canaries down the mines, didn't they? They used to take canaries down the mines, they'd smell the methane, and then the budgie would be happy.
I'm not going to teach you anymore.
Play record. Oh, excuse me, and don't be alarmed. I look quite frightening, but I'm merely a nice monster. I seem to have lost my way home. Could you direct me in the right direction?
Nice to meet you, yeah, Carl Pilkington.
Hi.
What's your name?
Why do you need to know my name?
Well, it might help me to find out where you come from.
Oh, my name's the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, all right, give me a second. What was your name again?
Loch Ness Monster.
See, this is what I mean.
All right, guys, have you finished that private call?
Yes.
Jeez, that was outrageous. You know you're a fan of Feng Shui, Carl, and you believe it's all true. I just run this one past you just on the off chance.
Yeah.
Because maybe that you change your opinion slightly.
Yeah.
Feng Shui teaches you to use your environment wisely.
Sure.
If your land and the surrounding area is undulating, it's said to house auspicious dragons. When land is flat and featureless, the dragon is missing and the land is said to be less auspicious.
Excuse me, they call me the Brixton Dragon.
Sure, sure.
I seem to have lost my way. I know it's South London somewhere, but could you help me find my home?
What's your name?
Well, they call me the Brixton Dragon.
Right, where are you from?
I see what you mean. I see what you mean, aye.
Oh, the caveman. So does that make you query it at all, the dragon?
I'm not into it that much.
Right,
I'm
sure.
I'm just saying that if you have your head at one end of the bed rather than the other, it might make a difference to your night's sleep.
It's not so much feng shui, though, is it, as sort of good advice, generally. When you went home...
Don't sleep on the end of a spike near a cliff.
Good advice.
I mean, that's good advice, isn't it? No, I mean,
and it was a Christmas play, and I managed to get a part in it. And,
did you audition?
No. Got a part in it, and I should have been playing the drums to the one about Kings.
We Three Kings.
Yeah. I was meant to be doing that, but Little Donkey came on, and it was one of those.
What do you mean came on?
That was like next up on you know the next song.
Right, right.
And it's one of them songs that you can't help sort of
tapping along to.
Yeah. Do you know, like if I was to go,
yeah, you'd have to finish it with.
Yeah. Do you know that they actually send that into space?
Do they?
And
what, hoping the aliens will respond with that?
Yeah, they do that because apparently it is one of the things that you can't help.
What, even if you're an alien life form?
Yeah.
They know that, do they? Yeah.
But anyway.
What, could they watch Star Trek or something?
Hello. Knock knock.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Is it true, like, if you send out knock knock into space, yeah, they have to say
Oggy Oggy Oggy. that is great.
Seriously.
Oh, hold on, was something out there? Was it a little green fellow? That is great.
Yeah. So anyway,
that is
Donkey. I mean, we're not a close family, do you know what I mean? We're not
no.
a sort of family who keeps in touch with everyone. And I think my mum called her up one Christmas. And sort of said, you know, how's
the Diddy men?
How's Nutty Ash?
And she said, oh, no, I'm not. I don't do that anymore. I'm knocking about with Sandra or whatever.
Right.
And it was like, oh, right.
Not big butch Sandra with the big earrings and the skinhead. He used to live down the road from you.
I don't know.
He used to get Doc Martens wholesale. That's Sandra.
but she lived, she had a haunted house.
Go on.
Who, Sandra?
No, Hazel.
Right. Is this before she was a lesbian or not?
Before.
Okay.
And there was a bike in the hall and the pedals used to go back.
There was a what in the hall?
A bike.
That's handy, isn't it? Oh, okay. That's great. Don't worry, we won't do anything.
So, there was. I want to know about the haunted house. There was a bike in the hall.
There was a bike in the hall, and the pedals used to go backwards on their own. And also, shoes used to stick to the wall or something.
Did they?
Yeah.
Shoes used to stick to the wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a.
That's all we got.
A household. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Brilliant.
Maybe she should clean the walls. XFM 104.9. Lovely, that one.
Brilliant, isn't it? The acoustic version of Just Like Heaven from The Cure's double CD.
I'm loving it, loving it, loving it.
Collection.
Now, again, I broke the rules in the week. I met up with Carl. I had lunch with him. And we were chatting and having a cup of tea. And it got onto one of Carl's favourite programmes was The Tales of the Unexpected.
Ah, of course.
And all I can think is that he's probably the only person in Britain where they were unexpected. I mean, to him, when that twist came, then you go, gee, I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Can't believe
it was the tree that did it. I mean, he was probably the only. And we were telling all these stories of horror, and he liked horror stories. And I told him this story. And I don't know if this had come across the radio, but I told him this story. It was a horror short.
This was a film you saw, was it?
Yeah. And what it was, it started off just had been a car crash. You see, it was a horrendous wreck. And you saw it from the point of view of the person in the car. And he was calling for his mate and he was going, Dave. And he sort of looked over and saw a body without a head that had been thrown at. He goes, oh no, Dave. And then into the field of view came Dave, his mate, and looked at him with a look of horror. And then it sort of went black and you realised that he was just a head and it had been his body.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And I said, then it came up at the end at the executions and the French Revolution, people experience consciousness for, you know, and he went, oh, no, he said, it wouldn't be for that long. And then he went, if it was a chicken, it would work. Imagine remaking that film. But it's two chickens in horrendous car crash.
Their own fault for driving me.
It would work. No, he wasn't having that.
Yeah.
No, it was too long. I think he said, how long was this film? I went, oh, no, 5 minutes. He went, no. It would work if it was a chicken.
I like the way that Carly and something like, when you relate an incident like that, he's appalled and offended and annoyed by the people that made it, even though he's never seen it.
Oh, he's annoyed, yeah.
I want to see it. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But they should have thought it through a bit more.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite Tales of the Unexpected, one that you remember particularly that shook you up?
Yeah, we were talking about the one on where there's some woman in prison. Have you seen that one?
I can't remember them all.
Right. This woman's in prison.
Yeah.
And she gets a bit friendly with the guy who takes the dead bodies out.
Right.
And he says, I can get you out of here. He said, what you've got to do, right? You've got to, I don't know, at midnight.
When you hear the bell toll, that means there's been a dead body. Yeah,
there's been a dead body. So what you've got to do is go into like the place where all the dead bodies are, get in the first coffin on the right, and then I'll come along and carry you out and you can run away and escape, right? So she goes, yeah, all right then. So she hears the bell go.
I'll bury you, right? And then I'll come back later and dig you up.
Right.
Yeah, but that point. It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Trust me, Carl, really matters.
Okay. Listen, I don't know if I'm going to ruin this for people at home.
Yeah.
Can I just skip to the end? I would imagine that she gets buried and he doesn't come back and she has to get buried alive.
Better than that.
Okay.
Yeah, she does it. She gets into the coffin.
Yes.
Go on.
Right. So she gets in the coffin and she's lying there for ages.
She's buried.
She can feel a bit of movement going on. So she's obviously, you know, being carried somewhere. So she's thinking, this is it. I'm getting out. And she's lying there for ages and thinking, why isn't someone coming and lifting the lid off this? Do you know what I mean? Letting me get out. So she's really bored. She gets a lighter out, right? Lights it to have a look at who she's lying on. It's only the fella who said he'd help escape.
Oh.
How bad is that?
That is. How bad is that?
So it is quite important that she's buried alive then, isn't it? In retrospect, you realise that the jeopardy is that she's buried alive and can't get out.
Yeah.
It makes it so much worse, doesn't it, than just like lying in the morgue and going, actually, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work.
Look at Carl's face. Having told that, he's so pleased. His face is lit up. He's beaming like a child.
Have you seen any?
Is that your favourite horror thing ever?
That's a good one. And
let's see if anyone knows what the finger is. When that bloke was under the ground, wiggling his finger.
We're talking about one with some fella who's stuck in the ground or something.
This is a motif I notice in your particular favourite ones.
Yeah.
Right.
People stuck in the ground. Go on.
Right. So she's.
It's a fella, is it?
Yeah, a fella stuck. Now, I seem to remember it just being his foot, to be honest, being stuck in a hole.
And no, he was under the ground and he got a little thing out of the pavement and he put his finger up and wiggled it to try and attract attention. Then you see a woman come along and her stiletto heel just knocks his finger off.
You see, I'm wondering whether it's the same one as I saw.
Yeah, it could be two like that, couldn't there?
They were running out of ideas by the last series.
It's a big theme in Hollywood.
Or what was that one you told me about with the porn? That was a good one.
Oh, this was fantastic, right? Right. There was this.
Sorry, can I just check now? We're just remembering classic episodes of the Tales of Inspector.
This is important. Well, I saw one, right? I saw one on Tales of Inspector, right? And it was these two gents. What they used to do, they look down the obituaries and they'd blackmail the wife or the son of a dead eminent person, like might be a priest or a doctor, like that. And they'd go and they'd say, he bought some erotic stuff from us before he died, and he owes 100 guineas and all this sort of stuff. And they'd pay up because it'd be so embarrassing. They just didn't want to say, just pay him, yeah. Right? And this one bloke said, who are these people? I'll meet with them. And he goes round there, and he goes round, and they go, your father, he goes, my father could not have bought any erotic material from you. And he did, he goes, he couldn't have, he's blind. Right, and that was the twist. And Carl went, so it was magazines, not videos then.
Yeah. Now think about it, Steve. Is that so stupid?
Well, presumably it was set in olden times, because people... Professional pornographers don't tend to call it, you know, erotic material.
Yeah.
They tend to call it, you know, juicy jugs or whatever. But more than that, I don't understand how a video is going to be any use to a blind person either. I know that you can hear the sound, Carl. Look at him nodding like he's caught me out.
Yeah, what sound will you hear? Your meter needs looking at? Yes. Cut. What's then? What's that? Then it's just noises.
Occasional groans.
Yeah.
Right.
You could listen through the wall at your neighbours.
He does.
I mean, that's why I save a lot of money. But I thought you were going to point out, Carl, that they could have had a Braille porno. Now, have you thought of that?
Look, feel the lumps on that.
Exactly. Think about it, Carl.
Think about it.
You're excited now.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend's away, Carl.
Yeah, the cheese grater is only under the cupboard.
Now, she's a good-looking lady.
Yeah.
Next, we've got White Van Carl.
Oh, excellent. Stereophonics, Vegas two times, XFM 104.9 into the last hour.
Yeah.
And then three shows to go.
That's true enough.
Until we're off the air. I'm Ricky Gervais.
With him, Steve Merchant.
Carl.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Go on, tell you, we cut short last week, weren't we? You had an amazing story about Neil Armstrong, didn't you?
Well, we've been doing quotes, haven't we? Like famous quotes.
Sure. Yes.
I've gone down in history.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, quotes don't really matter. it's more the situation that you're in than the quote itself.
Go on.
So like Neil Armstrong, if he'd have said,
tie bacon around your head.
I'm as happy as a pig in dust.
Yeah, that would have still gone down in history as like being the thing that Neil Armstrong said, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Space is driven in mental, probably.
But he chose to say something profound and meaningful to befit the situation. It's, well, he got it wrong, actually. It's a small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But he was meant to say...
Yeah, we discussed this last week, Rick. Stop showing off.
Well, no, but people might have been listening last week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I can't imagine...
Well, we better tell him every week, then.
Yeah, but he said he should have said, this is one small step for a man.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had a good effort, and that's quite...
And that's an example of what I'm saying. The fact that he got it wrong, but it still went down in history.
Right.
But anyway, the bit that... and it didn't happen anyway, did it?
What do you mean it didn't happen anyway?
That's what a lot of people say. That no one's actually been on the moon.
Ah, yes, of course.
They filmed it in Teddington Studios.
Well, they were saying something about there was shadow on the film, and you wouldn't get shadow on the film, and... There's all sorts of things.
You know, these people that you always quote as they.
Who are they?
Are they living in jars? Are they little fellas in jars?
Look, go on. You know.
Do they appear to you in dreams?
I've spoken to different people about it, and there's loads of little things that if you watch that programme, that you know, of them being on the moon, there is no way they could have done it.
Right.
Done.
Fine.
Yeah. Done. Anyway. That's put to bed.
Yeah.
But anyway, as he was getting back in the spaceship on the moon, or whether it be a TV studio, he said... good luck, Mr. Croucher.
Right.
Have you heard this?
No.
And the reason he said that was because when he was a young kid, and he was, I think it was Croucher, but when he was playing as a young kid in his garden, he was playing baseball with his mate, and he chucked the ball to his mate, and his mate hit the ball, and the ball went over the fence to the next door neighbour. Right. So he goes, right, I'll just nip over and get the ball. And as he was getting the ball, the window was open to his neighbour's house, and he heard like the woman shouting at her husband saying, I'm not going to be giving you a bit rude. So if you've got a kid in the car or whatever, turn it down. What? Yeah, that's covered that. Yeah. Right.
Genius.
I'm not, no matter how many times you ask me, I'm not going to be giving you oral sex. The day I do that, man would have walked on the moon. Right.
Yeah.
He grows up, he gets on the moon, and he remembers all that story. And as he gets back in the spaceship, he says, good luck, Mr. Croucher.
Now, do you know, now, I have to say, I've heard that story before, but when I heard it, the woman said, the day I give you a blowjob is the day the boy next door walks on the moon, which makes it all the more profane.
Impossible.
And enjoyable. Yeah, and unlikely.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've heard the same story, Carl.
Yeah.
Look how pleased he is.
I love that.
Right, so not only have you remembered that anecdote, which may or may not be true, but of course you've also proven
the
that...
The day I give you a blowjob, even... that kid in the garden's probably going to walk on the moon and say something about giant leaps.
But, yeah, you must have heard the thing that it never actually happened.
Yes, we've all heard it. We've all dismissed it as nonsense.
And moved on.
Yeah. And got on with our lives.
Right, Carl.
What?
Should we do White Van Man?
You didn't prepare me for that. We better play a track and then I'll fish out the newspaper and stuff.
This is a good little bootleg track here from Meats and Poultry here. They've mixed A with Outcast.
Right.
Chorus is great.
Is it highly illegal?
It is.
So people shouldn't rush to their tape machines now and press
play
and record.
Okay, so whatever you do, don't record this now if you've got it. Hold on, don't say anything. Well, that bootleg's going under the name of... Nothing, Miss Jackson, I think, by Meats and Poultry. So there you go.
I do love these bootleg things because they're so pointless, but they're so enjoyable.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun to do. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
they're really good fun.
Great. But not as much fun as White Van Carl.
White Van Carl, absolutely. Do you want to explain the premise?
Well, we take some of the son, ask someone else, and ask Carl. It's as simple as that.
That's
the son have just taken a normal person. We flipped it. We're going to ask Carl the same questions about the week's news.
Yeah, just basically your opinions, Carl, as ever. What do you make of, well, obviously the big news, David Beckham's broken foot? Is this a big concern for you?
No, I mean, he's sad, you know. He's sadder for him more than anyone because, you know, to like be in the World Cup is like the main thing for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's still a young lad and I don't think he'll give up. I reckon he'll still turn up. It'll be all right. And, yeah, good luck to the lad. You know I like David. I'm not going to slag him off.
His words.
He says that like he knows him. Like he's popping round for drinks later.
Yeah, like we tried to stitch you up. Go
but,
on.
But obviously yesterday, was it yesterday? I think maybe Thursday, the Sun printed a big picture of David's foot and encouraged everyone to touch it at midday because hoping that this would somehow, if we all thought and prayed together, somehow that would help his foot heal. Do you believe in that?
No.
You any belief in that?
No, you're going down the old... Like you're a Geller route, aren't you?
Sure.
And it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice effort and everything. It sort of cheers everyone up.
Hold on. You believe in ghosts and warlocks and licking toads. Why is that any more stupid than all those things?
It's not going to work, is it?
All right.
Fine.
It's rubbish.
Okay.
Eminem, Without Me on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais with me, Steve Merchant.
Hello there.
Little Carl Pilkington. Into the last hour, 3 hours of broadcasting to go, Carl, for us. Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
Three Musketeers.
Because you'll obviously still be working here. You have a day job, don't you? What is it you do exactly?
I make stuff.
You make stuff? Like, what, like furniture?
Promos and stuff.
Oh, right.
Sort of a bit of in talk there, but basically like little trails for the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do all week.
Yeah.
So you'll be back to doing that when we're off.
You don't talk to anyone, do you, in the week? You just hide in your little sound booth thing and you really don't talk to anyone, do you, much?
Not really.
No
I mean, you know, you might call up.
Yeah.
But no, I keep myself to myself.
Yeah.
Then you don't get bogged down in the office politics and stuff.
Yeah. Is there a lot of office politics here?
I don't know. I don't get involved in it.
Oh, yeah. Proved your point.
So when we're away and we're like out of action, who, other than Suzanne, who will you talk to of the day?
How will you get a sort of
feedback from the world? How you get sort of like input? And
I always, if I've ever got like a question on anything, the internet's sat there, and I can just go online and find out.
The internet is good.
It's brilliant,
but it's not all verified.
What do you mean?
It's not all verified.
It's not all factually accurate.
Anyone can put things onto the internet. It's that, you know, it's freaks and things that put on.
Well,
here's things
one, right?
Like
here's one that I read in the week. Right?
Go on.
About this woman.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a punk, and to get her hair done like she wanted it.
Super glue.
Right. No. She got lard. Apparently, it's a popular thing. You might know. Put lard on your head.
Yeah.
And you put it in the oven.
Oh.
Now. Apparently, the heat that you get from the oven is different from the sort of heat you get from an air dryer, right? And she had to do that to get the style that she wanted. But anyway, she comes into money or whatever, treats herself to a microwave, right?
It's not true.
Opens the door, jams the things, you know, like the little catch, so the microwave works. She jams it with a screwdriver or a knife or something.
Yeah.
Puts the microwave on, sticks her head in, boils her brain.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right? Well, why is that ridiculous?
Boils her brain.
She boiled her brain.
She boiled her brain.
And this is what's good about the internet. I went straight from that, and there was a subject about brains. And do you know that Russell Crowe, when he dies, is giving his brain to charity or something, some sort of... some people who can do stuff with it.
She gave hers to Pot Noodle.
Vesta.
Yeah.
Oh, that's boiling a skull.
Yeah.
That's not true. No.
It's not true, Carl.
It's the same as the woman who put her poodle in the microwave, isn't it? And all
it's just urban myths.
They're urban myths.
But again, where does it start?
Someone made it up.
Yeah.
For a laugh.
They're just too convenient urban myths. Everyone's you can tell an urban myth's not true, because it's always, this happened to a mate of mine, and when you say, what happened then, they go, don't know, that was it. Was it? Was that it? Was it? Someone boiled a brain, and that was it. There was no more story.
Were there any dates, locations, times? I think it was in Belgium.
There's that one... A bloke, right, was going to get a phone call at 4 o'clock to find out if his business was, you know, okay, right? And if he didn't get the phone call, he knew he was broke, destitute. So dead on 4 o'clock, the phone didn't ring. So he went up to the roof of his office and he jumped off to commit suicide. And as he was passing his window, the phone was ringing.
Oh, no.
Carl, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Think it through.
Who told that story? Who told that story as he hit the pavement at 120 miles an hour?
He's the only person who could have known that series of incidents.
Also, why didn't he wait? As his life's at stake, why didn't he wait till 5 past? I said, I'm going to give it 5 minutes just in case
the lines are busy.
Yeah. And what sort of bloke goes out? I'll call you at 4, okay, if your business... Well, call me anyway. No. If I don't call exactly 4, then... you commit suicide. Commit suicide. I would, because if I don't call at 4, that's the end of it. Well, call me anyway. No, that's not the way I work. Why can't he just call me and tell me the other way? Well, I'm telling you, I would do it. If you're bust, I don't call. Can't you just call to verify in case something goes wrong? What if it's engaged? If you want to be engaged, just commit suicide at 4, please. It didn't happen, Carl. Have you the other one, right? A bloke, right? He's on a train station, and I'll tell you how I heard it. He's waiting for a crew station, whatever, and he shits himself. As you do. And so he goes, oh, my train's in 5 minutes. So he runs across to Millett's and goes, quick, Levi's, 36. The bloke just puts it in a bag. He runs onto the train. He goes into the toilet, takes his trousers and pants off.
He's soiled.
Yes. Throws them out of the window. I won't be needing those again. Cleans himself off. Open the bags. It's a jacket.
Oh.
No, it didn't happen, Carl.
It didn't happen, Carl.
At what point did he go into it and go, quick, Levi's 36? And the bloke went, sorry, Levi's 36, what, a pair? No, shall I wrap them? Them? It? Shall I wrap? Just wrap whatever it is. Do you want to look? No, I'm not looking when you're putting it in the bag, please. Right? 36 waist joints. Well, no, don't say anything.
I've told you 36 Levi's. Then put it in a bag and charge me for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to discuss it further.
Yeah.
There was one...
here we go.
There was one about a woman whose husband died and she had him cremated.
Yeah.
And made like a little egg timer out of him. Right. And she said, I did that so it can still help around the kitchen.
Well, that might be true. That might be a joke.
That's quite sweet.
That might be
that
true.
That is a true story, again. It was all...
No, not again, because the ones I just told weren't. Nor is the boiling the brains in a bag, curry, microwave.
Head story, true.
Yeah. They're too convenient.
Will you be buried or cremated?
What?
Will you be buried or cremated?
I don't know. Cremated, I imagine.
Like you say.
I don't know. It's out of my hands.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it.
I've not thought it through, and I don't care either way.
Have you heard the one
I'm just worried that we're getting into a macabre world now of ashes, boiled heads. So I think we should play some music, let people just calm down.
Levi's.
Just think about some of the urban myths they've maybe heard, assess them. Maybe they are absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
And they can move on from it.
Well, it's just that the death thing, right?
Yeah.
There was an argument on there about, do you know that Twilight Zone or whatever it was, Tales of the Unexpected?
Oh, yeah.
Where the woman got buried alive.
Yeah.
They were saying how, like, years ago, they'd bury people thinking they're dead.
Yeah.
And they've recently, like, dug coffins up. And then the people who were in the coffin weren't dead. They might have just been, like, in some sort of deep sleep or
catatonic.
Whatever. And they've lifted the lid off.
Yeah.
And there's scratch marks on the thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary. That
makes you think. I mean, I hope they check these days. That's all. I'd like to play a beautiful song now by Cat Stevens called Diddy White. It's lovely.
A song for the lovers?
Yeah. Smiths, Cemetery Gates. Great, wasn't it?
Always cracking.
Off Queen is Dead. Voted best album of all time, I think, in an NME poll. I don't think it is their
Strangers
best album.
Strangers Here We Come.
I agree.
By far the best.
Yeah.
Cracking.
Anyway, Carl, so people are arguing on the flight. How did you enjoy Edinburgh, by the way, anyway? Because I saw you up there briefly with you and Nick Frost, your new mates, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. You know, he prefers them to us now.
I know, apparently. I could tell that from just talking to him, really.
It was the way he was sort of looking at them, he was just smiling at Nick Frost. It's his new best chum. You love Nick Frost, don't you?
Would you have preferred it, if I went to Edinburgh and had to sit with some people that I really didn't like? Would you have been happier for me?
No, do you know, but...
Right, I had a great time with Simon and Nick and the nice people.
But he kept going to, oi, Nick, tell Ricky that story. And Nick and Simon, all it was, right? And their ghost stories. That's he loves them because they believe in ghosts.
Oh,
it's not
just they're great blokes with great sense of humour. Just because they believe in ghosts. And you go and tell them that. He goes, how do you explain that? I was going, I wasn't there. What was that one you told me? And it was completely wrong. About the.
It was. It's years ago.
Oh yeah.
In olden days.
Oh sure.
When ghosts roamed the earth.
What's
the
type, you mean?
Yeah.
Some doctor or something who was into like the way bodies work. They got their head cut off.
Who did? The doctor?
Yeah, he was doing a bit of an experiment.
And he cut his own head off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was about he said, when my head's in the basket, I'm gonna blink my eyes.
Right. Okay, sorry, hang on, let him finish.
And
so the doctor has chopped his own head off and he's told everyone, I'm going to blink my eyes.
He's in the basket and he goes like, right, I'm going to blink my eyes about, as many times as I can. So quick, count them. And they count and he got to like 15 before he died.
Now this is how Carl told me that. Till Nick Frost explained that, Carl told me, he said, right, well a bloke, right, he had his head cut off and when his head was in the basket, he went, count how many times I can blink. And I went, well, that's rubbish. And Nick went, well, no, he actually said, when my head's in the basket. And Carl went, oh, right. I said, Carl, do you know the subtle difference? Do you see the subtle difference?
I have to say, though, guys, I still don't really understand what went on there. You both lost me.
The story is that a bloke who'd been found doing...
You mean that Carl just explained it and that was a clear version? Because I still don't know what you're talking about, Carl.
Well, this bloke... had his head cut off for experiments against God. He was a doctor in the, in olden times.
Yeah.
And when they cut his head off...
Why did they cut his head off?
Because it was...
He was executed.
Crimes against... Exactly, he was executed, yeah. And he said to his assistant, when my head's in the basket, I'm going to blink, count how many times I blink and write it down as an experiment, right? Carl told it to me, like, his head was cut off and he went in the basket, and when his head was in the basket, he looked up and said, count how many times I blink. Yeah, I love that. I love the difference in that story.
Yeah, yeah.
Both rubbish, yeah. But, you know, one's
why
possible and one isn't.
Anything, you believe anything that you're told except when we tell you the truth.
Right, yeah. Here's one.
Christ.
Ghosts and that we got talking about.
Sure.
And Nick said, right, he said, you'll like this one. Huh. He said, my auntie was having loads of problems.
Why are you whispering? It's not illegal to talk about ghosts on the radio.
No, but
it's eerie.
the auntie's in the house and that, and furniture's moving about all the time.
Oh, God.
And they were like,
Steve, he told me this one. This is such rubbish, mate.
No, come on, let's listen.
I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. I'm just going to watch your face, Steve.
Right,
sorry. So I missed the beginning there, Carl. There's an auntie. Hey,
basically, Nick's auntie.
Right.
In the house, things moving around all the time. Oh, and it was just annoying every time she tidied up. It was like...
Oh, it was just annoying.
Making a mess.
It was one part annoying to two parts scary.
Yeah.
So... stuff was moving around all the time, and they said, right, rather than...
Right, we need an housekeeper.
Yeah. Rather than having the house a mess, until we sort this out...
Stop it! I've got the vicar coming round! Stop moving stuff around!
Oh, yeah, go on.
They said...
That shouldn't be in the pants drawer!
Let's put all the furniture in one room, right?
Right.
So just have one room that's a mess, and have all the others empty.
Because I love the poltergeist can't really... It can move wardrobes around, but it can't open a door to put it in another room.
Yeah.
Poltergeist going, oh, I'm just making this room messy. I wish someone opened the door so I could... Go on.
Yeah, but... So all this stuff's in this room.
So they moved all their furniture into
everything,
one room.
They put, like, the drawers in there and everything. And it was really uncomfortable because they were all, like, on top of each
other. They sat in the room with all the stuff?
Yeah, they had to because that's where the three-piece suite was.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Right.
All right.
Oh, God.
So they sat there, like, all crumpled up on that, but nothing can move because it's so tight. I think things were trying to move,
but everything
was so tight. It's
they
just
foxed
like,
that poltergeist.
So anyway, one night they sat there, like, sort of a bit awkward watching the telly and that, and they hear some banging in the next room. She goes, oh, God, what's that?
Oh, he hadn't moved in, had he, the ghost?
So,
to some of the empty rooms.
So there's this banging...
moved some friends and family in.
There's this banging about going on.
No, this
so
is this.
She gets up, right?
Yeah.
And what it is, they had the baby in the next room because there wasn't much room for the cot.
Right, so they left the baby with the ghost.
So they go into the room where the baby is and the banging...
Yeah.
...is like, do you know those plastic balls you get that you can chuck around the room and, like, they go mental?
Right.
The ones that you chuck once and they keep bouncing for ages.
Yeah.
That was bouncing around the room.
Wow, what, the baby had thrown it?
It in all the walls, and the baby was there, stood in the cot, sort of laughing.
Right.
And looking at the ball, and wherever it looked, the ball went.
Yeah.
And then she said, stop doing that.
Yeah.
And the ball just stopped.
Did it?
And it rolled a bit and stopped.
Right. So the baby had thrown the ball and it was watching it as it bounced around the room?
It wasn't throwing it, it was in control of it.
No, the point is, Steve, the baby had been doing it. It would have been the baby all along.
The baby had been messing with the furniture. It was
so
a baby
it's a super
that had the power.
Baby.
Yeah, it's a baby that had the power.
Special baby.
It's
special
a baby that
powers.
Had the power. It's
what
a baby
power?
That had the power.
What,
the power,
what's the power
of telekinesis.
Right.
They were then trying to convince me that telekinesis was not like all the other stuff that I didn't believe in, but that was a science.
Right.
Telekinesis was possible.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like ghosts and demons and all that sort of. Telekinesis is different.
Yeah.
That's a science.
But Nick's auntie saw it, and...
I love the fact that you're telling me that someone else's auntie saw it. So I should be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
I should be satisfied with that. I mean...
No.
So does she still live in one room with all her possessions?
No, I think...
The baby grew out of it, apparently.
It grew
the
up.
Baby grew out of it.
So it doesn't use its telekinesis powers
no.
anymore?
Well, no, it's like in Carrie, isn't it? She was upset for a bit and then she got over it.
Okay, I'm just going to say one thing, Carl. That was a film. Do you want to play a record or...? Get free. All right, on XFM 104.9. Can I just tell you a story that Carl told me a couple of weeks ago?
Is this another ghost story? Another
spooky
story?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I called him out. I was, what are you doing? He said, oh, I said, I've just been reading ghost stories again. He went, he said, you don't believe in them, but how do you explain this? So I went, go on. He said, well, I'll tell you as he told me it. He went, bloke, right, just sitting at home, doing, you know, watching telly with his cat. And, the phone rings and it's a bloke going, is that fire
in your oven okay now? Because your wife called. And he went, Carl went, well, one, there was no fire in the oven. Two, he wasn't married. I went, right. Go on, he went, well. Then, right, there was a knock at the door and there was two sort of people in sort of white coats and they kind of said, oh, we've come about that fire. Your wife called us. He went, one, there isn't a fire in my oven, and two, I'm not even married, right? And he said, and they saw the cat, and they sort of, they looked at the cat, it looks a bit weird, the cat came out, nothing. He said, and then he went back, it sat down, phone rings, and they said, oh, did they sort out the fire in the oven that your wife told us about?
Oh.
He went, one, there is no fire in my oven, two, I haven't got a wife. And Carl went, what do you think of that? I went, that's not it. He went, yeah, I went.
That's the end of the story.
What? He went, well, how'd you explain that? I went, explain what? I thought he was going to say, a year later we got married, but she died in an oven fire. Right? I thought it was going to be, and I went,
that's what? People winding him up.
Yeah, or someone did report a fire in the oven, and their name was Johnson, and they looked up Johnson, they got the wrong thing, it was the gas board, or that, and they sent it around to the wrong person, right? You know, he went, yeah. I said, I explained it to him. He went, yeah. Why do they look at the cat funny?
Oh, man alive, Carl. This is really weird, right? I was in my house once, right? And the doorbell rang.
Yeah.
Right? I opened the door and there was no one there.
Yeah.
Right? And then I looked across the street. There were some kids running away.
Yeah.
Now, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
There was another time, right, where, like, I opened the door and there was a bloke goes, you've ordered pizza. I went, I haven't ordered pizza. And I heard my mate upstairs giggling and putting the phone down.
Yeah. How do you explain that? Carl, seriously, why did you tell me that story? What did you think it was weird about that?
The fact that it was three different people.
Is this all the information? Is that the entire story?
Three different people.
Did you fall asleep and not read the end?
A fire that didn't happen, about a wife that didn't exist, and a cat that didn't look happy.
Oh, I'm gonna have a heart attack, Carl. What? I mean, why did they look at the cat funny?
Because cats don't like spirits, do they?
What? And the other blokes were ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So these are kind of beetle about type ghosts. These are ghosts who walk the earth as the undead, just winding people up slightly.
That's lovely. That is lovely.
Seriously,
and a cat that did not look happy.
But seriously, why would ghosts wander around just like winding people up?
Oh,
maybe something did happen there years ago.
Mm.
Some fire. Some woman might have died in the house of a fire or something.
Yeah.
It sort of all happened again.
Yeah, it's certainly a mystery.
It's a mystery. I mean, I can't.
What's this book you were reading? You were reading a book, which is interesting enough.
There was it was the Fortean Times.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, I tell you this, Carl. There is a track that will spook you right out. This is Warren Zevon from about 1979, early 80s.
Oh, great track.
Werewolves of London. Play this, Carl. But don't be scared. From 1978, Carl. Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Are you a fan of that?
It's alright,
that's a great track, isn't it?
Fans of Warren Zevon, maybe if you should know, he's got a new album out as we speak. Although, if you're a fan, you probably know that already.
Yeah.
If you aren't a
people
fan.
People who hate him would be interested in knowing that he's got a new album out.
Yeah.
Do you believe in, I think, Werewolves. Lycanthropy? Is it not called?
What's that, sorry?
Lycanthropy.
What's lycanthropy?
Isn't that werewolfism?
Really?
Isn't it? Do you believe in that, Carl?
They've found stuff, haven't they? They've found kids walking about who are all airy. Because, because they've sort of grew up with wolves and that.
Yeah.
So. No, you see, two things there. You cannot take on acquired characteristics genetically. So if you grew up with wolves, it wouldn't suddenly make you hairy.
There's been stories on it, and I reckon a lot of people have seen the stories. It's a popular thing.
You mean the kids that are born hairy?
No, there's kids who have been born hairy, right?
Yeah, that's it.
No, but listen, and they walk around on all fours and they drink milk from a saucer.
Steve, this is
no,
too
remember,
easy.
Listen, remember that time with the maggot in the head?
Yeah.
And getting out with bacon and you were like laughing and then people called up and said, yeah, I've seen that, I've read about that.
Yeah,
this is the same thing.
Have you seen an XFM listener up close? Have you ever looked?
They drink milk from a saucer.
Yeah, they've got to be kept on leads. People who listen to this show.
There's no point in me
telling you about stuff.
There is. It's comedy
gold.
When
you were at school, did you keep arguing with the teacher saying you're talking rubbish there?
Teachers didn't teach us about werewolf boys and ghosts. They taught us maths. God, right, tell the story about the manhole cover.
Right, in the same magazine as the one with the cat and the fire and that.
Don't tell me that story again, it gives me the shit.
Yeah, a cat that's got a weird expression on its face is against God.
Anyway, this isn't a scary story, this was just, like, physics. Physics.
Yeah.
It was going on about the nuclear bomb and how powerful it is. And they put a manhole cover on top of one. Okay. Blew it up.
Yeah.
Never saw the manhole cover again.
Man alive, Carl.
Unexplained. What's going on there? Something weird is happening there. Oh.
If anyone has ever seen that manhole cover,
please
get in touch. We'd love to know where it is.
Oh, that's fantastic. What sort of experiment is that? I imagine all these scientists on multi-billion pound research budgets, they're going, we test everything. What would you do to a manhole cover? Don't I?
That's like letting a couple of students
Have control of a nuclear. Do you reckon it could send a traffic cone into orbit? Go on then, put it on there. I love that. I imagine that. What value is that? I'm not sure we could do. We could put the manhole cover on it and aim it and then blow the bomb up and it would the manhole cover would have someone's eye out. Fire it. See if you can fire manhole covers off the nuclear bomb. Whatever. Try bangers to a bomb. See if it's louder. Oh, God.
Okay, listen, Carl, play another track and then afterwards, can we probe your views on the week's news?
If you want.
We'll do a bit of a White Van Carl session.
Smashing Pumpkins
today
is the greatest because we're back.
That's true enough.
All right.
I hope people were listening to that loud in this lovely summer's day.
Not too loud.
Well,
don't annoy people.
Now this will scare you. Now, this Carl, you will be a little bit unnerved about this. Have you seen the film Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
You know what happened there? Well, according to the sign here, it says scientists are planning to clone mammoths for a theme park. Look at his face. Look at that. He looks like a dog caught in the headlights of a car. He's terrified.
I love Carl.
He sprung to attention
Carl.
There.
Is that the best news you could have?
Man moths.
Right.
Yeah, man Carl, moths.
I love the fact that that's why he was so excited that they bred a man moth. What is this? Yeah, it's a human being that hides in your wardrobe and eats an entire jacket in a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean, man moths? Mammoths! Mammoth! The big hairy cow from the Ice Age. I mean, elephant.
You're not so excited about that, then? You can take or leave bringing back mammoths to life, but a man moth?
A man moth is a different matter. Oh. If we'd have never brought that up, he'd have gone and told someone now, they've bred a half man, half moth.
This is
how things start.
This is what we mean when you hear these ghost stories.
Are you
stories?
Slightly deaf? Is that it? When you hear these stories, you're slightly deaf, and his head was in the basket, and he went, count how many times I blink. Is
English your first language? Are you actually foreign? Is that
yeah,
the thing?
Yeah.
Should we speak
when we
slower?
Say foreign, we mean not of this planet.
Yeah. Should we speak slower? Would that be a help to you?
No. Go on. Next
what do you
one.
Make of that?
Do you think that's good? The idea to bring back mammoths.
Prehistoric animals.
These giant elephants.
They're slow, aren't they? It's not as if they're going to, like, get out and run fast and they can't capture them.
They'll probably be a fence, to be honest, Carl. They'll probably be a fence.
No, but you're asking it as if, like, it could all go wrong, but it couldn't, could it?
Well,
really?
but the point was about Jurassic Park is they thought it wouldn't go wrong. They thought they had it all under control.
Have you learned nothing from Jurassic Park, Carl?
Dinosaurs would say, think about it before you do it. But with a hairy elephant, it's not going to...
It's not a concern for you. Would you go along to see him? Would you be interested in that?
If it was in the area.
He's great, isn't he? I'd love a queue.
Nothing
right?
impresses him.
No, but what I'd like to do is Carl sitting like Yoda in a little cave, and I'd just like to see people like Tony Blair and, you know, Stephen Hawking in a queue, and they go and say, Carl, got a bit of a problem.
Thinking of cloning a man and a moth.
Yeah.
Problem? not an issue. No, if I'm in the area, I won't cruise around and have a look at it. Otherwise, just don't send it near my clothes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's just for a second. As the words man moth came into your head, how excited were you? I mean, were you both terrified and excited? For the moment when you thought that they'd cloned a man and a moth?
I pictured...
What kind of face did he have? Did he have the moth's head, or was it a man's head?
Just a little head, little man head.
Right, what was his face? What did it look like?
He was just like a bit shocked.
Perplexed, yeah. he'd been grafted onto the body of a moth without his consent.
And when he was asleep,
he'd woken up.
He just went in for to have a goiter removed, and they said, "We've replaced your goiter with the body of a giant moth."
Yeah.
Is that all right, Mr. Jenkins?
So he had the head of a little. Was it a little boy or a man?
Little man.
Right. Okay.
And he's just bumping into a lamp.
Just bumping into a lamp.
If you went into hospital. And they'd done something. What's the worst thing they'd do, right? What would you rather have done, right? You wake up and you've got lobster claws for hands.
Right.
You wake up and you've got duck's feet. Or you wake up and you've got one horn coming out of your head.
The worst thing?
Yeah.
Probably the the horn coming out of my head.
Why?
Get in the way.
That'd be useful, wouldn't it? In fights and stuff. And for like parties, people would
I suppose the lobster claws would also be quite handy there.
Definitely.